In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, congratulations. I'm sure you're all aware. Tomorrow is the beginning of the Great Lent. And so the readings of the church today are to prepare us for Great Lent. And Lent is a time for spiritual warfare. Lent is a time for great introspection. It's a time for repentance. And Lent is also a time for the three virtues mentioned in the Gospel of today from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. The three virtues mentioned in the Gospel today are charity, almsgiving, service, giving. The second one is prayer. And the third one is fasting or asceticism, denying oneself. And when the Lord mentioned these virtues in the Gospel, His primary focus was not to encourage the crowds to give more, or to pray more, or to fast more. Of course, we can always give more, we can pray more, we fast more, and that's great. But the Lord, in His Sermon on the Mount, He was assuming that they were already doing those things. But the question for us today is, why are we doing those things? And the Lord was asking us, do we serve? Do we pray? Do we fast so that people will think we are holy? Or do we want to be genuinely holy? In the Gospel of today, the Lord teaches us not to be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites were doing charitable deeds and sounding trumpets to be seen by men. And the hypocrites, they were praying on street corners to be seen by men. And the hypocrites were disfiguring their faces when they fast so that they could be seen by men. And to each one of those virtues, the Lord says, our Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And today I want to break down this statement. Our Father, or your Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly. The first part of the verse says that our Father sees us. Our Father sees us. This means that God knows our intentions. He knows our motivations. And we will be judged for our actions. Of course, our actions are important. But just as important as the action is the reason behind the action. That is why when the Lord was people watching in the temple, He praised the widow who came in and put 2 mites. More than all the rich who put in very much. The Lord valued 2 mites more than big money. We value big money because we are superficial and we love money. So if someone said, do you want 2 mites or do you want $200? I would take the $200. But the Lord, He looked at the 2 mites and said, no, this 2 mites is more than the 200 or what the rich put in. Because the Lord sees through the quantity. He sees through the mask. He saw the heart of a widow that was truly giving. And the same is true in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. You know the Pharisee, he stood and prayed and said, Lord God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast. He said, I fast twice a week. I give my tithe. I'm giving. And then the tax collector, all he did was standing afar. He would not raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. One is standing and praying with many words, but the Lord is seeing the heart. In the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's giving feedback to the 7 churches in Asia Minor. And the feedback was specifically for the bishop or the leader of the church. And to each bishop, the Lord, he said a very powerful expression. He says, I know your works. I know your works. I know your works means that the Lord knows everything about what is going on in the church. The Lord knows about all the services in the church. He knows about all the servants in the church. He knows all the details. And I could share with you what the Lord said about every church, but I will just share what the Lord said to one church, the church of Sardis. The Lord said to Sardis, I know your works. I know what you're doing. You're fasting. I know that you guys are praying together. I know that you guys are doing charitable things. I know you guys are doing all these great things. He says, I know your works, that you're doing all of these great things, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And then he said, be watchful, for I have not found your works perfect before God. I've not found your works perfect before God. He said, remember therefore how you received, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. The words of the Lord, they're eye-opening. Actually, they're like heart-opening. Because the Lord, he could be saying to us, I know the works of this church. We have lots of services. We have a lot of things. We pray, we fast, we do charitable things. And it seems like the church is alive. But in actuality, the Lord was telling this church in Sardis, no, your church is dead. The Lord says, I have not found your works perfect before God. So what's the solution? Is the solution now, the Lord is saying, I've not found your works perfect. Okay, stop everything, don't do anything, close up shop, don't go home and think about it. The solution is to repent. The solution is to repent. One wise person said, if you wait until your motives are pure and unselfish before you do something, you probably will have to wait forever. If you had to wait until every motive is pure and unselfish before you do something, you will wait forever. So the solution is not to just wait until the intentions are pure. The solution is to repent. The solution is to evaluate our intentions for service, for prayer, for fasting. The solution is to make this the subject of our prayers. That's why in the conclusion of every hour of the Agbeya, it says, Purify my intentions. The solution is what the Lord said to the church in Ephesus, to remember your first love. We should be motivated by love. Our service is weak. Our fasting is weak. Our prayers are weak when we lack love. And St. Paul, he mentioned these three virtues, actually, in his famous chapter on love. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That's prayer. You could pray all the things that you ought to pray, but if you have not love, you become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And then he says later, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's charity, that's almsgiving. And though I give my body to be burned, I could liken that to fasting. Fasting is the asceticism, the denial. If I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. So our primary motivation should be love. And an extension of this love that is mentioned in the gospel of today is forgiveness or reconciliation. The proof of this love is forgiveness and reconciliation. Why am I saying that? Because the gospel of today said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In the Vespers last night, the Gospel of the Vespers last night said, whenever you pray standing, if you have anything against anyone, What should you do? If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And in the Gospel of Matins this morning, it said, if your brother sins against you, what should you do? Rebuke him. Tricked you. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So, the verse, our Father who sees, teaches us to evaluate our motives. It is wrong to give, to fast, to pray, solely to receive recognition or to manipulate circumstances. Remember that the primary motive, when the God who sees, our primary motive should be love, reconciliation, and forgiveness. The second part of the verse says, our Father who sees in secret. I want to speak to you about the secret place. Our Lord teaches us that the best way to subdue the hungry ego of man is to go to the secret place. Forgiving, he said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. For praying, he said, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And for fasting, he said, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. The importance in all three of the virtues is the secret place. And in our modern age, the secret place is being aggressively attacked. Because nowadays, there is no secret place. The trend in society, this is just the trend in society, is to speak about everything, to reveal to everyone what we are doing at every point in time. You know, like the Be Real. Okay, but son, I'm at home, and I want to be see me at home late. And then all this like Snapchat stories and everybody just snapping into in a secret place. No need to reveal everything to everybody at every time. The secret place is a place to be quiet, to be alone. But now I can't be alone for 10 seconds without feeling bored. So I can't be in a secret place. And this ruins the intimacy of the secret place. You know, virtue signaling ruins the secret place. I virtue signal because I want to make sure that other people know that I'm virtuous by advocating a cause or initiative. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with raising an awareness for an issue. The issue is that I'm raising an issue because I want people to see that I care about an issue. But actually, in my secret, I don't really care. Or maybe I care not as much. The Pharisees, they love to virtue signal. That's why the Lord said, the scribes and Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. And whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say, but they do not do. They say a lot of things, but they don't do it. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one finger. You know, sometimes I feel that in service, sometimes we do things because they receive glory, they receive attention of people. But the secret services, the ones that are behind the scenes, they're the less glamorous ones, they're often neglected. And society is often encouraging us to speak up and to publicize. Whereas the church is teaching us to keep it low, to give without letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Today, the Lord is calling us into the secret room to leave behind the Instagram pages. Yani Moses, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he was called to the top of the mountain, to a secret place, to receive the Ten Commandments. The Lord could have given the Ten Commandments in the valley, amongst the people. But he wanted Moses to come and spend time with him in fasting and prayer. Our Lord said in the Gospel today, our Father is in the secret place. So I go to the secret place so that I can meet our Father in the secret place. Our Lord is inviting us and calling us to a secret hidden life in Him. That's what St. Paul speaks about in Colossians. He says, our life is hidden. Our life is hidden in Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. The third part of the expression is, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Our Lord is so encouraging. You know, he doesn't need to reward us. You know, as was written in the Matins Gospel, we are pitiable servants. We are just doing what our duty is. But the Lord in His goodness, the Lord in His love and His mercy, He wants to reward us. He wants to honor us. And even He says, whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. As if the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants to give a reward. The unfortunate reality is that oftentimes we prefer earthly glory to the heavenly glory. We care more about what others think than what God thinks. And sometimes we are like the Pharisees who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And we would rather feed and reward the ego. There was two events in Italy that I want to share with you that I think relate to this topic. We visited many magnificent churches. And one thing I was wondering, and I don't have the answer to this, but one thing that I was thinking about is, did these churches, were they built because the church cared for the flock? Or were these churches built to receive praise from men as like a sort of accomplishment? Like, I mean, we walked in and we applauded the architect and the one who commissioned it. And I said, this is amazing. And even I was telling the group, I was like, I feel like in heaven, this is like the sort of artistry that I would, like the stones and the ornate features. Like, it was amazing. It was spectacular. And I sat there and applauded, and our group, we sat there and applauded, and so did all the thousands of people that came into the church. They all sat there and applauded. But at the end of the day, I was thinking, does our applause matter? Does our applause matter? I could imagine God saying to the people, the architect, the builder, you received your praise from men. You received your glory from God. So you don't need any more glory from me. So the question that I was thinking about, every service, every initiative that we do, are we seeking pleasure or glory from man or the heavenly reward from up above? Another incident from Italy. Throughout the trip, I was very traumatized to see so many young kids smoking in Europe. And we were in the hotel, and one of the there was like a big field trip or whatever, and one of the parents saw me, a priest, and I kind of was standing, and it was just worked out, and they asked, like, could you speak to our kids, and some of the kids were there, and the kid is sitting there, and he has his, like, vape in his mouth, and he looks like 12, like, this is like a 12-year-old kid, and shade vape, and his parents and all the people are sitting there watching, and so I was just, like, I was, like, very troubled at this, and I was wondering, what do I say to a boy, and they asked me, can you say something to the kids, or whatever. And so I was wondering, what could I say to the kids to convince them to put down their vape? You know, I'm never going to see this kid ever again. They don't know me. I'm never like, who am I? Who to say anything? And but one thing, what I said to him is irrelevant. But one thing that was in my mind is how to convey to someone to seek the heavenly reward more than the earthly reward. And then this idea was stuck with me like throughout. And as we were walking through the airports and like the duty free shops, you know, the pile of cigarettes that said like, and on the pile of cigarettes it says, like in very bold letters, smoking kills. And so I'm like thinking like to myself, like on the label it says smoking kills. And yet these are like young kids and they are sacrificing their health, sacrificing their future, just so that they could have, I don't know, temporary fun or gloom. And then I was thinking, actually, this is not just for smoking. This is actually could be a type for all types of sin. Is that all types of sin, like, all types of sin kill. But we do them, and we forget about the heavenly treasure. But if we thought about the heavenly treasure, it would be very easy for us to put away all of the earthly things. That's why I think in the Pauline epistle today, the church was telling us about St. Paul's struggles and telling us from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and the night I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. St. Paul, why do you do all of these things? Why do you do all of these things? Why? Because he has his mind on the heavenly reward. So today we want to remember as we start Lent, our Father who sees, he knows all things, to evaluate our moment, to evaluate our motivation. Our Father who sees in secret, we need to go to the secret place. And when we go to the secret place, he will reward us openly. And glory be to God forever. Amen.